Hi there, welcome to Vanguard Radio. This is Marcelo Sugdeo. Today I want to talk about Vanguard's Game Changer series. Also, we'll touch on the NORAD officer who says that North America is now less secure. And former Prime Minister Paul Martin, he said the decision on the ballistic missile defense might be different today. All of this on Vanguard Radio. About a year ago, Vanguard started the Vanguard series on Game Changers. And this series is about executives within the defense community who are really making some changes, game-changing changes within their respective work, within their respective company, also within the industry as a whole. And over the past year, we have been profiling these executives. And today I want to talk to you about one of them, and his name is Jim Quick. Jim is the president and CEO of the AIAC, that's the Aerospace Industries Association of Canada. And Jim is an executive that came from the chemical industry. And in giving us his Game Changer profile, this interview, he said that making that transition to the aerospace industry, he quickly realized that every day is different with new opportunities and challenges. But not only that, every day, he said, you get to see some of the world's best innovation. And that is so true, because within the aerospace industry itself, there is so much that is happening there, so much innovation. We have innovation in aircraft, in fighter jets. We have innovation within the space itself. So much is happening there. And Jim, in his interview with Vanguard, pointed out how that is helping him to really see and get a good feel of what is happening within the industry. And that really makes him excited. And now, as the head of AIAC, Jim is changing the industry. He's a game changer, and considered a game changer by Vanguard by the work that he's doing to lead. And he leads on different initiatives, and one of them is with government relationships and the relation with government as it comes to the aerospace industry here in Canada. We asked him about what habit would he consider that something that contributes to his success. And he said that when he first started working within government relations, he was encouraged to ensure that whatever issues he's dealing with, that he would have to write a letter to the minister or the prime minister. And by doing that, he was able to have a sort of presentation of his case. And secondly, you can be able to take that case and make it a public record. And he said that he later discovered that governments have correspondence units, and the last person to see your letter and to respond to that letter would be the person to whom you, of course, would have to address the letter to in most cases. And the response, he said, was well-baked, not the one that you would like, but it's a response that is coming back that would have to deal with the issue. So he used that and to really get a good feel of the situation, and that helps him to really become successful. But he said beyond all of that, that is just about letters. But beyond all of that, the real way to deal with an issue is to do it face to face. And that's a good point that he made there. Whenever there's an issue to deal with, it's better to go to that person or to meet with that group and then to deal with them to get to the solution. We ask him about what people or organizations do best embody the innovation mindset. And he said that there are 130 members, companies within the innovation space and within the association. And he finds that to be very inspiring, because outside of the industry, he thinks that Apple would be a good fit for a company that is really on innovation. And he said that he is an Apple convert, and that he just finds that every product that comes out of Apple, it allows you to have better technology and an engagement experience. All right, so we ask Jim as well about how his organization is really changing the game within the industry. And this is done by, he said, through the hard work that has been done through AIAC and having a partner relationship. So that's the relationship that he considers having with government. And by having that partner relationship, he can be able to interact with government and to be able to bring future business and create that environment for future business. And he said that you can't really put a price on that. We also asked him about the biggest impediments to innovation within his organization or the industry. And he said that the aerospace industry turns on innovation. So it's all about innovation. And that is what we are and what we do. But he said beyond that, he thinks that the biggest impediment to innovation is about members. And it's about the size of the company as well. When you look at the numbers, innovation-related activity increases as the company grows from small to medium to large. So one of the things that they're focusing at AIAC is to find ways to help companies to scale up faster so they can move faster from one level, from, say, for example, a small level to a medium level, and to get there faster and find the best ways to help these companies to increase their innovation capabilities. We've also asked Jim about what technologies or business models or trends that will drive the biggest changes in the industry over the next few years. And he said that globalization of the industry continues to be a tremendous challenge for the Canadian industry. But working with government to create and refocus policy and programs that allow companies to maintain global leadership is critical. So that's important to continue to make the biggest changes within the industry. And also to be successful, he said that we need to continue to help companies to grow and scale the global supply chain. He also said that there are many, many countries that want what we have right here in Canada. But staying ahead requires a commitment to grow through innovation. So that's the interview with Jim Quick. He's the president and CEO of the AIAC. And AIAC will be holding their event coming up shortly in November. Be sure to check out this latest profile in Vanguard's October-November issue. And we're putting the final touches to that issue right now. And it will be out in a few weeks. Also, you can get the full interview with Jim on our website. So you can go to vanguardcanada.com. And there we have the Game Changers on the tab on the menu bar. You can click that and you can find the Game Changers listed there with Jim being the one on top. A senior Canadian defense official told a business crowd at an event recently that North America is a bit less secure than it once was, as new threats are posed by violent extremist groups and the behavior of certain countries and the advent of long-range missiles. Of course, he's pointing out to what is happening in North Korea. The deputy commander of North American Aerospace Defense Command, that's NORAD, he's the lieutenant. His name is Lieutenant General Pierre Saint-Amand. He said that the organization is modernizing in the face of these threats, looking at their physical assets such as ships and aircrafts, as well as plotting out strategies and tactics. He said to the audience, capabilities that are being developed are opening flanks that we're not very comfortable with, and we have to start thinking about our future in that sense. Recently, with the debate that has been going on about North Korea and the U.S. President Donald Trump saying that if there is an attack on a Canadian city, that the U.S. will not be able to help. So the Lieutenant General said, that we're being told in Colorado Springs that the extent The Lieutenant General said that we are being told in Colorado Springs that the U.S. policy is not to defend Canada. So he said that in the heat of the moment, American commanders may choose to defend Canada, but that would entirely be a U.S. decision. As you know, the Canadian government decided not to join the U.S. Ballistic Missile Defense Shield back in 2005. But the U.S. Defense Secretary, Jim Mattis, he said that they were there, talking about Canada, they were there when we got attacked and we stand by them. So he's saying that the U.S. will stand by Canada in the event there's an attack because they stood by us when we got attacked as well. In speaking with the crowd recently, the Lieutenant General said that when ballistic missiles are launched anywhere in the world, NORAD is involved in identifying, tracing, and characterizing any potential threat, but not responding to it. So that's their role, to just see where it's going, but not to really respond to it. And this is where we have no part to play, he said. We are not outside the room. We are still at our consoles, and we keep watching because there could be some more coming in. And he went on to say that because of these new capabilities of, for example, long-range cruise missiles, that an air launch, a launch even from the sea, that they feel that North America is now a bit less secure than it was a short time ago. Former Prime Minister Paul Martin says that the decision not to join the U.S. Ballistic Missile Defense Program over a decade ago was based on the information available at that time, and that he might make a different choice today. In an interview with the West Bloc's Vasi Kapalos, Martin explained that the world has changed dramatically since 2005. Currently, Canada has no means to defend itself. And Martin said that the country has an excellent Minister of Defense. However, that the Department of National Defense will need to decide what to do moving forward. Earlier this month, a former high-ranking NORAD commander told Kapalos that the Martin government's decision not to join the Missile Defense Shield back in 2005 had taken both him and other American allies by surprise. But Martin explained that the choice came down to several key unanswered questions. What role would Canada play in the program, for example? How much influence would we have when it came time to make decisions? A decade ago, there were also widespread concerns about the ballistic missile defense, that it was destabilizing from a global military perspective, that the costs were too high, and that it didn't work. Since then, there have been significant technological improvements, but it remains unclear if Canada will attempt to join the program in the coming months. With that, we've come to the end of Vanguard Radio for today. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Marcelo Sugdev saying bye for now.